We want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me. And I want to go to the book of Genesis. And the 19th chapter. And I believe we'll begin reading around about the 14th verse. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand. The men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. If you notice the first phrases of that 16th verse, it said, and while he lingered, I want to preach on a thought tonight. Lingering could be your doom. Lingering could be your doom. When you think about the word lingering, it means being slowful or waiting too long, trying, just taking your time. And if you notice why the word of the Lord said, and while he lingered, talking about Lot. Lot, if you'll notice in this same chapter, the word of the Lord said, Lot said he was a righteous man. And we go on over here, and I got another post in the scripture I want to read right here, and you'll find it in 2 Peter. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, not in their damnation slumbereth. No. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them under chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them, and example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot back with filthy conversation of the wicked. Preaching the night on lingering could be your doom. Just waiting too long could be your doom. And I thought about just a few years ago down in the hills of West Virginia. There was a coal camp, and above this coal camp, up the holler, they had dumped slate and muck and stuff out of the mine till it made a great dam across from one ridge to the other. And And they fished it to build and make a lake behind it. Time went on, and there come storms back in those mountains and those hollers. They had noticed that water began to break and seep through the dam in places. And the police of that tall camp would go up and down the streets and turn a siren on, and with loud speakers, he had begun to take and warn them people to get out and evacuate your homes and get to higher ground, that there was danger above them, and that they would be destroyed if that dam broke out. But time went on and time passed, and they'd give the warning every time they'd see the water was seeping through the dam and looked like it was going to break. Well, they got kind of used to it. And Stockwell warning is just another thing. Just a few years ago, the police force went up and down those hollers and cried out to those men and those women and those children in the homes and to the schools and told them to evacuate, that the dam was sure going to bust out and a break, and it was going to be a flood. And so those people, they just kindly watched their TV and turned the radio up a little louder. And Dad just turned the light on and sat back in his easy chair and took his paper and read. Children still just got in the floor and played with their little toys. Locked up and was going to happen. But after a while in the evening around about 5 o'clock, they heard a rumbling and a roaring in that hollow. And sure enough, this time that dam had broke and bringing trees and houses and bringing stumps and everything that it hit had to come right down them hollers. People didn't have time to run to the mountaintop. They had lingered too long. They had waited too long. And tonight, I want to preach on lingering too long could be your doom. It was hundreds of those people. They were found in the mud and in the muck and in the waters. Hung up in trees. It stopped because they lingered too long. Death had come because they'd heard the same old story over and over. And they just tied on thinking it was still just a fearful story. But this time it was a warning that meant death and disaster was on the way. At the night, I wonder if this revival, how many men and women, boys and girls, say that I've heard of that same old message over and over. I've heard that same old warning cried out. If they'll say, I'll wait till another revival. I'll wait till Brother Collins, our good pastor, gets the minister that I want to preach. I'll wait till another day. I'll wait till another dawn. But I'm a great neighbor of that God. After a while, he's going to spend the last morning. I would say, without God bid me to, that God was sent me to Hamilton, Ohio, to give your boys and your girls their last warning. But I don't know. It could be really fun. It could be the last warning to tell you to get in step with God. It could be the last warning to tell you to come out from among the world and live for God. It could be the last warning that will ever come to your ears. Somebody may say, oh, preacher, I'm feeling good. There's no pains in my body. I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm stout. But oh, I want to tell you, neighbor, the healthiest man dies. Why, yes, sir, the stoutest mother has to face death, and every one of us has to face judgment.
Will you linger too long? I thought about the man. I preached his funeral today. Somebody wants in back there, brother. I thought about him. I visited him in the hospital. And I prayed with him. I seen the tears run down his cheeks and drop off. His wife, the only confession, the only testimony, the only words that was given. He told his wife that he wasn't afraid to die. Well, that's good enough. That's good enough. But wait a minute. He almost lingered too long. Just 2 or 3 days before death. He talked to her and told her that he wasn't afraid. But how close he was to death. Far from God. Just a linger. Just to wait till another time. Ah, yes. I thought the other night, up down at Newport, Covington, Kentucky, up the city next to where we pastor, the police went to serve a warrant on a young man. He runs when he's seen the cruiser, turned his lights on and stopped before his home, and he headed for what we call down there, the Lincoln River. Ice was on it. He thought he could make a break and run from the police, go across on the ice. But as he got back middle ways, the ice broke through. He screamed. The paper said he called for help. Another boy looked at him, his buddy, and cried to the police. I said, if you won't take him a rope, I will. He got a hold of the end of the rope and began to crawl out to his friend. But he lingered too long. He was too long about it. And when he got there, the boy had tried to save himself. When he reached out after his buddy reached up and got him and pulled him in. And they both went down. Lingered too long. The rope even broke when they tried to pull him out. Why? It went too far. Death had caught him. Never! God told me to preach to you tonight. That lingered too long. What could be your doom? In what way, preacher? You could linger too long about praying. It could cause you to be lost. You could linger too long about loving. And you could be lost. You could linger too long about letting the grace of God, that is sufficient for you to come into your life and be lost. Here was a man. God loved him good enough that he sent his angels down to warn him and tell him, I'm going to send fire and brimstone. I'm going to drop atomic bomb upon a city Sodom Gomorrah. It was something like it. And this man, after he was warned, and he knew it was God. He knew it was God's plan. He just played around. He just lingered about. I want to tell you tonight, I tell you, he was almost doomed. His son-in-law looked at him and said, why are you talking like a foolish man? No doubt people will say L.L. Collins is crazy. No doubt people's already said that Brother Ely's gone off at the wrong end of the way he preaches. But above everything, I don't want you to linger too long, because hell has opened her mouth. It locks her borders and waits for your coming. Jesus said that today is the day of salvation. And if he had my voice, what the heart, not your heart, when people stiffen their neck against God, when people rail on God, when people say no to God, that they set their time at their way, they'll linger too long and be lost without the Spirit of God in their life. Lingering could mean your doom. Lingering could mean your doom. We think about, in the words of the Lord, we can bring up numbers that just linger too long. Just waited too long. Israel thought they could do what they wanted to do. And Israel was the type of the church, Sister Ward. They went on their ways for a long time. They set their heart the way they wanted to, Brother Boone Davenport, for a long time. And they just lingered in sin. They just went on so far that they even worshipped other gods. They went on so far that they hardened their heart and stiffened their neck against God. But in the time of it, can I say this? God lingered with Israel. God lingered with Israel. God should linger with you because you've got to pray it, Mama, out yonder. Some words are shedding tears. A praying daddy, and they're crying, "Oh, God, save my wandering boy. Save my lost girl." And God can push a damnation away from you. Push your doom back. And give you another opportunity and another opportunity. But after a while, it's going to be like Israel. God tired with Israel. Lingered with Israel. Seen her lingered in sin. And so far, she lingered in sin deeper she went. You can see anything. But that begins to be liberal. And take of the world. And take of this. And take of that. And this is all right. That's all right. But they start out just linger. And the longer they linger, the deeper they go. And the farther they go away from God. But the last a while, their hearts is hard. They don't want the word of God. They don't want to go to church. Israel hardened her heart. A stiffened her neck against God. But the last a while, God said, "I'll bring your bones in the wilderness. I'm quit fooling with you. You've lingered in sin. You went after other gods. You've turned me away. You've been rebellious against me." Oh, I tell God I have to pronounce up their doom upon them. Why? Because God has brought them to the gates of Canaan land. God has brought them right up to the land that flows with milk and honey. And still they lingered and said, "We'll not go." But oh, my friend, after a while, they screamed, they cried, they begged for mercy. Now the man of God, he would have loved for God, Moses, would have loved for God to fool him, would have loved for God to pull death back. But God sent a plague on Israel. But she fell in the wilderness, and her bones were bleached. Oh, yes, sir. But she died in her iniquities. But tonight, if you linger too long, boy, you'll get worse in sin. If you linger too long, girl, you'll get deeper. If you linger too long, Mama, Dad, after a while you go off the deep end and you will be worse forever. Linger. I've seen preachers, and I'm not trying to be a preacher killer, God forbid, but I've seen preachers. They started loosening up, and then let this little thing happen, and let it go on. And then just in a little while, there's something else to come on. Maybe we can, I just pitch a few things in here. Maybe they organize them a bowling team in the church. The first, oh Lord, help me here now. Oh God, help me here. I didn't mean, I don't want the medal tonight. But maybe they the first thing the pastor knowed that this brother was doing just a little something out of place. He might have looked at him and seen him making smiles at one of the girls. But he said, "He's just being friendly." And after a while, he seen them, they got a little closer. He kept that quiet. And after a while, he heard of them down the road in Lover's Lane somewhere. And he kept that quiet. He just kept lingering. And after a while, they know he knew it. So they just done what they want to do about it. And when they done what they want to do about it, it caught, seal, and catch just like a bar in a broom sage field. In March and the wind blowing. Down at my church, I've got some little fellas down there. You know David and Sharon, and I've got some other young mothers and dads. Got little children. David and Sharon, they'll make little David and the little girl today. He'll get them over there and set them down, and he'll spank them sometimes. But we have another mom or dad there. They just turned theirs loose. And he gets out there, and he jumps up and down, and he claps his hands, and he twists it. And, of course, it makes those other little ones just looking on want to get down and do the same thing. And if you don't watch it, let it linger a little while, and there'll be another one out on the floor playing. I'm getting all right now. And before you know it, there's another one out there, and his mother gets the little girl and pulls her and says, get your feet down, sit down. She begins to cry and say, Mama, wow, Junior's out there playing. Just let him linger a little longer, and he'll catch on to others is what I'm preaching about. Let sin, get in your life, and it'll catch on your children. Let sin get in your life, my daddy, my brother, and it'll cause Tom to follow your footsteps. Turn out, Mama, be a harlot, and watch that beautiful daughter walk down the same old broad road that you, it's lingered, it's caught, it's got a whole load of them. Happy preach, will you? I'll preach it tonight. So linger too long, but to see your doom. I didn't mean, but to throw nothing in to the church tonight, if I can help it, but God, give me something, I have to give it to you. Linger too long, destroying. Linger too long, tires down. Linger too long, hearts and hearts. Linger too long, stiff and snakes. Linger too long, takes the joy of God out, that brings in the joy of the world. Linger too long, takes the pleasures of home. That brings in the pleasures of sin. Linger too long. Takes up Jesus Christ. That brings in the powers of hell. Never. It'll be your doom. If it was doomed to Israel. He told me in the scripture that I read. But that he wouldn't even spare the angels. But that Edom come down. He took and put them in confinement. He wouldn't let it go. No longer God. If he would spire the angels, he won't spire you. If he wouldn't spire Lucifer, he won't spire you. Lucifer was cast down. That's the third part of the angels. I fell with him. But in judgment, you will go down. And whatever your life is being, it's going to drag others with you. Am I preaching all right? Lingering. Linger too long to be your doom. Just linger too long, it gets out of hand. It gets so, after a while, then the pastor says, hey sister, I want you to stop doing that. I know you're doing it. Brother, I want you to stop. But he looks and says, now wait now, preacher, you know this has been going on a long time. And you ain't said a thing about it. Now it's got a hold of me, and I can't. In judgment, there are going to be more pastors, more evangelists, more preachers stand with the blood of people on their hands because they wouldn't preach the truth if they wouldn't warn men and women to flee from the light to come. And they'll scream in judgment. But Brother Collins, you didn't tell me. Food never poured. You didn't tell me. My world, you didn't tell me. You had the opportunity. I'm preaching tonight. Linger too long could be your doom. Oh, it's something to think about. When I get to thinking about this, it about makes me cool. It about makes me afraid. Oh, I'll tell you what. I don't want the blood of nobody on my hands. I don't want the blood of nobody on my hands. Langer could be a duty. Well, there's good mama. And Lord help me. I love good mama. My mother's a good mama. And I love good mothers. But a lot of good mothers. My daddy and mama, two of the finest people to me that ever lived. Bless her heart. Daddy'll be 80 years old around about the 5th next month. Mama's getting up close to that. But there used to be a day, Brother Parker, that my daddy would work. Mama, in the summertime, we'd know he left before daylight, around about 4 and 5 in the morning. And wouldn't get back home, Sister Polly, till around about 8 at night. As before, they had cars for transportation, and Daddy walked. Go to the mine, walk under the mountain, load coal, and come back home. Mama would all she'd pray. Mama, get over to the milk gap. There's been many a time I'd pull one of them old hickory bottom chairs. Here, Mommy, make a racket. And I'd pull one of them old hickory bottom chairs up to the window. And just a little boy. And I'd peep her up and look out, see what Mama's doing. And over at the milk gap where old Jerry's was, Mama's hands would be over her head. A bucket in one hand, her other hand raised. And she'd be speaking in other tongues and shouting, praising God. Oh, Daddy'd come in at the night. And we'd sit out on the porch. Many a night, good brother, when the moon would be shining bright. And we'd watch to see Dad's old carbide light, Brother Hughes, come around the curve. And her mama'd be a setting there. Her first 4 children was boys. And we'd sit right close to her. And her mama'd begin to sing that old song. I give you to God in your cradle, my boy. And I taught you the best that I knew. And as long as God's mercy permits me to live, I shall never cease praying for you. Now you help me if you want to. Hold fast to the right. Hold fast. And I feel Mama's hands begin to tremble. I feel her body begin to shake. And I've heard her back close too. I hear Mama's tongue begin to talking that I didn't know what it was. And it makes a lot of cold chills dropping down my back. I wanted to hide my face in Mama's dress tailor and cry out, God, just a little old boy. Mama and Daddy had some. He'd come on. After a while, we'd hear somebody whistling. We'd hear somebody singing. Coming up that little old trail. About the one big enough for a wagon. On the way, we got our food and coal. Of which was a mule and a sled. Pulling it up that holler. But we'd see his daddy. Maybe he'd be coming around the curve. And he was just singing that old song. Bright morning stars arising. Oh, time. Bright morning stars arising. Bright morning stars arising. Day is a breaking in my soul. I wonder where's my mother, and he's going singing, I wonder where my father, and I wonder where sister is, and I wonder where brother, and I'd jump back, Mommy, jump up, and run in the house, and she'd get out those cushion nets she had baked, she'd tell us children to run out to the spring box, and bring the milk and the butter. We didn't have a whole lot, Brother Boone, but had a whole lot of God. Mama, Daddy, if they'd let that lingered in their homes, probably my sisters would never roam. Probably my brothers would get preachers instead of one of them being stealing sin. But as they grow older, Daddy would come in. When I he'd get in, Mama done have the food on the table. And he'd wash his hands a little and sit down in his black clothes. And we'd eat. Maybe sometimes it'd just be fried potatoes and a little fat back without any streak in it. And some cornbread, milk and butter, but we was happy. And after we had to eat, Daddy'd get his washing pool. His wash tub was a number two sink. And he'd take that old black kettle and pour the water in it. And Mama'd help him fix his water. And he'd get off in the room there, and you could hear him. He'd be singing another old song. And Bass and Mama'd be washing the dishes. Us little fellas playing around. And after they got through, about the time he'd get through bathing, Mama'd be through washing dishes. I had a tin cup for my milk cup, where they took corn out of it and cut and beat the edge down around it. And that's what I eat my milk and bread out of. I went to school with the 4-pound lard bucket with the spoon stuck down in it and cornbread crumbled up and milk poured over it. That was my food. But the thing about it, when they'd get through, Daddy, he'd sit down. Come on, Daisy. I've got to get to bed. I'm tired. Daisy, my mom. And she'd come and stand maybe with her hand up on his shoulder behind that old hickory bottom chair. And we would get right around close to Dad's knee. Because then they didn't have no funny papers in their home. And didn't have no funny books. And didn't have no love stories. And didn't have no detective books. But just had the Bible. And to get to hear Daddy read about Jesus, how he loved his disciples, we humped right up close to him. And we'd get to reading how Jesus died. Everyone, cheerful Mama, the tears would run down her cheeks. And we'd look at her, and what was on Mama would touch us. But time went on. The last children coming to home. Daddy and Mama were sincere in their praying and seeking God till Claude got back from the Second World War. Then Mama began to lighten off. Daddy didn't read the Bible tonight, but they're getting older. And I realize getting older that people break from things. They're still wonderful Christians. But sure, these other fellas that come up and these girls, they didn't get what I got. If it was just lingered on, they'd never one probably been Christians before they got out of the teens. If it just lingered on, and Daddy would still have that home devotion, and it would have lingered. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It would have got a hold of Marie, and it would have got a hold of Wathena, and it got a hold of Shirley, and it would have got a hold of Merlin, and it got a hold of Homer. But, they lightened down. They broke that channel they was in. I'm talking about my mom and daddy, and I hope I get the point over to you. When you begin to let other things linger and get a hold of you, and it lingers till you miss your prayer line. You miss your shouting in the Word. Your devotion was God. Before you know, you ain't the same mama you used to be. You ain't the same daddy you used to be. You ain't the same son or daughter you used to be. My friend, if there's ever a time that we break away from Satan and put in anger, I'm going to straighten up, and I'm going to shape up. I tell you, I'm going to. I just mean it, Brother E. But Brother Collins, I'm going to quit doing these things. And I'm going to be. But they just linger a little longer, a little. And after a while, if you ain't careful, the devil gouges you. I started out living for God. And I'm not going to preach long as I did last night if I felt it. They tell me I preached 1.5 hours last night, and I didn't feel like I did, but that's a long time to preach. I want to tell you, I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost, good brother. And the Lord had saved me good, and I knew that I was saved. But every time I'd go to the altar, now I'm talking about me. Every time I'd go to the altar, the Spirit of God would come upon me. And it would speak to me and say, will you give us the sick grace? I'll give you the baptism if you'll give us the sick grace. And I just, as soon as the Spirit speak to me that way, Brother Ryle Parker, I'd get up and go and sit down. I went about 9 months of letting that thing linger in me. And I want to tell you, they was two sisters. The reason I said a while ago, the devil can take one of God's good people, and if they don't use wisdom, can hurt somebody. And these were two good sisters. And bless their hearts, every time they'd see me, one would get on one side and one on the other, and they'd start. Brother Claude, are you still smoking that old devil's weed? You ought to get rid of it. You ain't no good Christian doing that. And they just, man, punched me and they got me, the devil got me through them just to gather me. Every time they'd see me in church, they'd gag me. When I got on the outside, they'd gag me. If I met them in town, they'd gag me. And after a while, I got the place till I would have loved to got on a hill and had me a pile of rocks. I'd burnt them two women up. I would. I tried to skin their heads and be a young man, you know. Because this thing of they gassed me. And after a while, I got the place till I would have loved to got on a hill and had me a pile of rocks. I'd burnt them two women up. I would. I tried to skin their heads and be a young man, you know, because this thing had lingered too long. And it was taking the wrong effects on me. It was doing the wrong thing to me. And it just lingered and lingered. So I'd burn them up. I'd throw them away. I'd give them away for cartons and tell sisters, that's the last one. And as soon as I'd get out that holler and get down where I could see somebody, and I'd smell one of them, I'd ask him, give me that dust, brother. Give me a drop of that. I can't stand it. I didn't try to stand it. But one night I went to church. Now, don't frown on me. I'll see you if you do. One night I went to church, and they called me to sing Brother Hughes' special. And I got up and sung, I'm working on the building, working on the building. I'm working on the building for my Lord. And I got down in his kenosis to call. Well, if I was a cigarette smoker, I'd tell you what I'd do. Well, I'd quit puffing them nasty things, start working on the building, too. I'm working on the building. I'm working. You know, I married a little missionary Baptist girl. And we got out of church that night after I sung. And that song, you know, it's got if I was a liar and if I was a hypocrite and if I was a backer chewer and a snuff dipper. Lord, have mercy. If you lived the way that song, you sang that song, you'd be sanctified and holy all over. I got outside and I reached down in my pocket and I pulled out my luckies and got my lighter and I lit me up one. That little woman is soon going to be the mother of my first baby, looked up to me and said, Claude, why don't you practice what you preach? Lord, I never had my baptism yet instead of preaching. And I tried my best to play dumb. I said, honey, what do you mean? I already knowed it struck me just as quick as she said it. But I tried to play. She said, you go in there and you sing to them people, if you've done so and so, what you do, and you come out here and do different. I always thought she just had a shy way of calling me a liar. But I walked on up the road just a little piece, and the Spirit of God spoke to me next. After she said that to me, I walked to her and I said, "Now, Lord, you know I tried to quit these. And I burn them up and I give them away and throw them away. And I just can't quit." I didn't know nothing much about fasting, but the Spirit of God, I said, spoke to me next. And he said to me, said, "If you will fast from this time till 6 o'clock tomorrow evening," said, "I'll take it away from you." All I know that fasting was is doing out of food and not drinking nothing. So I jumped right on it. I put my look on my finger and flipped it up the road. When I got up, put my 9 and a half on it and give it a rubbing and walked on up the road. Got almost to the house and I said, "Now, honey, when I get home," I said, "I ain't going to eat none. I always snack when I got home, you know." And I said, "Don't fix me no breakfast in the morning." And I said, "I don't want nothing to eat before 6 o'clock tomorrow evening." Oh, that thing had lingered and lingered and lingered. It had pulled me down. It had beat me out of the blessing. It caused me to not have the victory. It caused me to be troubled. It took money out of my pocket. It made me sick. It made me feel bad. But when 6 o'clock come, I prayed. I went up to my altar and I prayed. And I come to the house just before 6. And Sister Rita looked like she had just fixing enough potatoes for a church. Yes. It just looked like she was putting on enough bread just for her. But she's cooking like she always did. I passed the water bucket. We had water buckets back there in the hills, you know, in the spring. And I went for the water bucket and I wanted to go over and get hit by the bales. And just turned up on side out of it till I was full. And I said, "Honey, you better pray for me. I can't stand it." But I got out of that house and went back to my altar. And I prayed. And I come to the house. It was about 5 minutes for 6 o'clock. And I come in and that food was smelling the bacon. Oh, you talk about an aroma. You talk about that house smells up. I thought, "Lord, I can eat every bite, see God." And I passed that water, but I could drink all this water. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. I can't stand it. And I was walking through the house and the Spirit of the Lord said, "You haven't read my word today." And I got my Bible running. And I got down. And to this day, I don't know the chapter or the verses. But it took my mind off of the smell of the food. It took my the thirst out of me for water. It took the hunger for food out of me. And it was around about 10 minutes after 6 before I got up from there. And do you know what? That thing that was killing me. That thing is keeping me from getting the Holy Ghost. That thing that was keeping the power of God out of me. It was hooked now. Praise God, I could walk and tell people that the power of God had set me free. But tonight, you may have to fight some battles. You may have some hardens, but you get God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost following you and walking with you, and you obey it. You can whoop the devil. You can overcome every temptation. You can make it. You can make it out there. You can overcome. Praise God. Because God has no respect of person. What he's done freely, he'll do for you. You just got to have a little, have God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ and a little willpower. Yes, sir. Glory to his holy name. I'm preaching tonight. It could be your duty. I just brought in old Eli's testimony because it beat me so long. It whooped me so long. It had power over me so long. Just a little old thing about 2 inches and a half long had control over me and power over me till I couldn't do nothing with it. Oh, and I'm selling my soul out and selling the blessing of God out. Around about 3 weeks later in Rose Hill, Virginia, they called on me to sing one night. And I got up with the old guitar around my neck. And I began to sing, "I'll be no stranger there." I'll be no stranger there when all the saints come from the grave. I'll be no stranger there, and something hit me on top of the head. And I run to the back of the house, wheeled around and run me back. I got on the stage. Somewhere or another hit me again. And I went. Somebody took that from around my neck. It hit me again. And I sprawled in that old wood dusty floor. And I cried and I prayed. But when I come to myself and got up, Prince Cavili was in the floor. Oh, yeah, my shirt was dirty, but there's a little starch out of me. Yes, sir. Ah, a little bigotry feeling out of me. Ah, yes, a little pride was gone. But when I come to myself, there's a preacher to my head. I said, Brother Claude, you've been trying to get hit. It's got you now. Let it have its way. I realized I was speaking another tongue. At the back of my head. Praise the Lord. It's been good ever since. And I love it very much.
The more it gets on me, the more I love it. Glory. Lord, and me just a letting the devil, letting his play for his anger in me that was keeping me from getting the victory. Hallelujah. Well, anger had been my doom. You see, I never could get back to them two scriptures. I don't want to leave them out there, me wanting to skin their head. But I seen what was happening to me, Brother Burns. I seen the devil was a crab man. And probably if I'd stayed around close to them two dear sisters, I would have backslid. And they meant good. They meant right. But you know, you can have buddy and just linger with them a little too long. Cut me now, please. If I don't careful, I'll get the meddling again. I just can't give her up. I just can't give him up. I just got to be with him. I said, Lord, you gotta help me. There's something getting in me, it ain't you. So I got to get away from him. And then give him no chance. He just cried. And they get like the dark come in and feel me and I love them. Didn't want to hurt. Didn't want to throw no rocks at them. Didn't want to skin their head. And loved them so much that I went where he's at. And I told him, I said, sister, you got to forgive me. I asked you, the other day I wanted to hurt you. What for, Brother Healy? Because you all the time just gigging me around and talking about this and that and the other, and I didn't want to hear it. Praise the Lord. Lord, when you get this good Holy Ghost that I'm feeling in my soul tonight, and you get it in you just right, it'll make you not linger. It'll make you afraid to linger. You'll get every bit of the Joni spirit out of you. Yes, sir. You will, Mama. Lord, don't linger around home. Start your prayer life. Don't linger. Be afraid. I was preaching up here in Ohio, and I was preaching about prayer and what prayer do, you know. And I told mothers they ought to pray so people could hear them out in the other houses, in the other apartments. And they ought to pray for their children till their children could hear them. And this mother cornered me, is actually church broke, and Brother Gross. I don't call you Brother Pace. I'll call you Brother Gross. And she cornered me, and she said, Brother Ely, said if I was to pray like you told me to, I'd run every one of my children off. They'd leave home. Boy, I tell you, I never did leave home because Mom and Daddy prayed. It done something to me. It done something to me. But she said, I can't pray about my children off. Listen, friend, tonight, there are going to be more children, Mama, Daddy in hell, because Mama didn't linger in prayer. She give up too quick. Daddy give up too quick. Linger to me, your child's doing, your son, your daughter's doing.
strength. Friends, let me say this, we're going to pray. There was a fellow in the Bible one time that I looked at. He was a man after God's own heart. He walked with the Lord, and the Lord loved him. But one day, he walked out on the pool, overlooking an alley, and he looked down and seen a woman in the face. And as he looked at her, there's a seed of lust come in his mind. He didn't resist it. The Bible said resist the devil and you flee from him. But he supported that up and he carried it. And it lingered there, Brother Matthew World, till he made provisions the way that he was going to get that woman and to live after with him. And he sent his servant out and got this woman and brought her in and had a baby by her. But from that time on, just because David let that thing linger in his mind till the seed went to the heart, and he was the perfect student. Listen, young girl, the devil will destroy every one of you if you let him. Young men, the devil will destroy every one of you if you let things linger in your mind to your own. But it's not God's will that you perish, but that you have eternal life. People don't backslide overnight. Somebody says, oh, yeah, they do. But no, I don't preach that. People don't backslide just in a few minutes. It gets a hold of them and begins to eat on them. And the way what causes you to backslide, you are drawn away by the enticement of your own lust. It gets in there and begins to linger and linger. I'm going to do like her. I'm going to do like him. If he can do it, I can do it. You can't. You can't. And be holy enough, be Pentecostal. You can't do it because they do it. The world loves its own, but we love God. Don't let things get in your mind and harbor it up and let it begin to linger. My wife used to say when I first started preaching, she used to say, Claude, well, how can they shout? And how can they speak in tongues? And I can't do that. Ain't everything that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. But he that doeth the will of the Father. That man, that woman, that don't let sin harbor in the life. And don't let mistakes stay in there. And don't let the devil keep tripping them and keep lingering and lingering up to last a while. They're still, they get up and shake a little like Samson did, but it lingered too long. I ain't got time to preach this message yet. I got to hush. But people, I want to tell you, if you let things stay in, after a while it's going to come out. Let me just talk a little about Samson. I'm going to hush. He let it linger too long. He let it get a hold of him and stay on him too long. Mom and Daddy said, no, said, don't you pick that for your wife. Said, get you one out of your own people. Get you a good girl. Don't you get one of them people that's not of us. But he stiffened his neck and he said, I'll get what I want to, Mom. And he used to listen to you. You're just an old fogey. That's our day talk. Yeah, yeah. Well, she's nice to look upon. She pleases me well, and I want her. I ain't listening to you, Dad. You ain't nothing but an old cornfield whore, and you ain't got much sense, and I'm not listening to you. That's the way our boys today talk. Now, you just well say, man, you've got boys, and you just well own up, and girls that talk back at you if you ain't careful. Just for my daughter Mary, bless her heart, I got on her for something or other. And I smacked her across the shoulders, and she She took and turned around and stuck her mouth out. Said, "You won't slap me," she said, "slap me here." Boy, I busted her mouth and the blood flew. I slapped her right in the mouth. I busted her lips and the blood run down. I felt sorry for her, but she offered it to me. You let things linger too long, and after a while it gets out of hand. Samson, no, she never did. She never done that no more. It ain't been long ago I was talking to her about it, and she was glad that I done it. A lot of times if you'll correct your children, they'll try you to see if you'll correct them. And they'll walk off and appreciate you for doing it. Well, they may cry a little bit, and you may feel sorry for them, but don't you let them know that you feel sorry for them. They get around close to you and say, "If you ever try me again, I'll give you nothing." Don't let things linger. It gets out of hand. Oh, you just well to take and own up to it now. And don't you start clowning around here and losing your color. See, I've been preacher long enough to I can tell when people's losing their countenance. But I'm preaching on lingered, and he hit lingered. Hell, Samson was blind. Tight of losing what he had. It lingered so long that his eyes were gouged out. His power was gone from him. The seven locks was gone. Somebody said, "Well, Samson wore them." But I'm allowed to. I better not get on that, didn't I? But wait, Samson was a Nazarite unto God. And you're not a Nazarite unto God if you ain't careful, you're a hippie. I'm preaching tonight, things linger too long. Linger too long. I want you tonight to just think about it. You can let your soul linger without God. There was a rich man one time that heard something the other day. He dressed in the finest clothes and had the best food. He had the best chariot to ride on and probably waitresses that waited servants that served him and waited on him. But one day God tried him by sending a little old sore fellow that had bars from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. This fellow looked at him and wouldn't even give him the crumbs that fell from the table. The dogs had more pity and licked his shoulders. This man died and God sent pallbearers to get his soul taken to the resting place. Abraham's prison. But this fella that had an opportunity, probably if he would have fed Lazarus, if he'd took him in and give him a bed and told his servants to wash his sores and dress them and take care of him, God would have given him eternal life. But he let it linger so long that he went by, probably laughed at him. Take your old sore sick up. But wait a minute. He had to die too. It lingered. They both died. Lazarus died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. But here was a man let things go on and hold on to his riches and his integrity and to his big feel of a pride and his joy. It just lingered. He also died. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented in the flames. Tonight, are you going to wait too long? Are you going to linger too long? Are you going to wait for judgment? You feel that judgment is your life lost? He just waited and lingered till God had to lay hands upon him, his wife, and his daughters, and drag them out of the city. And him knowing that God had already pronounced destruction and judgment upon him. But he lingered. The Bible said, and he lingered. You know that judgment's coming. You know that you're going to have to face God. You know your condition tonight, how your heart is. Are you just going to linger on and be lost? Give it up. If you don't have the baptism, don't linger too long. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Turn loose of everything and let God fill you. If there's anything in any life that you feel like would separate you from the love of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Turn it loose. Don't let it linger no longer. God, give me this message to preach to you tonight. I hope that God helped me to get the point of it. Linger could be your doom. It was Samson's doom. It was the children of Israel's doom. It was David's doom. Say, how was it, Brother Eli? From that day on, David was crying and saying, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But after a while, David kept praying till after his sons had turned against him. His armies had turned against him. He had lost his child. Everything had went against him till he cried out and said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And in the last fighting, he cried out and said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadows of death, God took him back. He cried to God, took him back. It lingered and lingered. But after a while, there's a little prophet come by and told him, I know of a man that had a lamb. This man was rich and had much. He had a herd of sheep, but he wanted this man's lamb. And he took it. David said, tell me who it is and I'll kill him. I'll have him put to death. The man of God said, "Dark the man. You are the man. You let things linger in you, and you are the one destroyed. You are the one took the man's wife, and you committed sin. You are the one." David then began to cry. He knew that God was looking down. God's looking on us tonight. God wants to save you. Will you give him your heart? Will you give me the piano, please? If sinners could see their lost condition and realize what I now do, what an awful day they'll meet at the judgment, and an awful hell they'll meet in too. Oh, hide me, oh, my Savior, hide me deeper under your precious blood. Hover thy wings low down over me.